Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and open up to Matthew chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. Matthew and chapter number 5 in the Word of God tonight. And we do praise the Lord for what He's doing right here at Cross Point Baptist Church. A lot going on. I know we have a meeting right after this evening's service, and so we'll make some adjustments in the message to give us time for that tonight. But we are thankful just for the music today. God's been meeting with us, and for the visitors that were here this morning, and then some visitors once again back tonight, and once again we do welcome you here, and we're going to dive into a series now that we've been over the last several weeks entitled The Sermon on the Mount, The Sermon on the Mount, and so I'd like and invite you to stand this evening for the reading of God's Word. If your health allows you to, out of respect for the reading of God's Word, would you please stand with me tonight, and please follow along as I read. The only verse we're going to read this evening is verse number 4 of Matthew chapter number 5. So would you please follow along as I read and listen very carefully to the wording tonight. The Bible says this: Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This evening I'd like to preach a message entitled The Blessedness of Mourning. I want you to think about this for a moment. The blessedness of mourning. The Bible says, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for our time already this evening. Lord, you have blessed in such a great way, Lord, today, just to be here, to fellowship. Father, to be here to lift up our voices and singing honor and praise to you. We really do only have one life to give. Lord, we get one shot at this thing called life. There's no do-overs, Father. There is no rewind button. There is no time machine. We get one chance. How are we going to use it this week, God? Father, as we once again dive into this message that you, seeing the multitude, separate yourself, you go into a mountain, you begin to teach, and now, Father, in your preserved word, we have for us today this really twofold application. And Lord, we're looking at the application of how we can use this now. What is it? How can we live our life right now in 2021, October? This year's almost done, Father. So I ask, Savior, that tonight your word would speak to us, that, Father, you would move us to conviction, encouragement. And Father, for those watching via live stream, Lord, may they for a couple of moments tune out the rest of the world, turn off the TV, set the phone aside, and let's concentrate on you. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you are a studier of the Word of God, if you are a Bible believer, every once in a while you'll come across a verse that seems to be a contradiction in His Word. Now, we are Bible believers and believe that the Bible is without error. You and I understand that the Bible is complete in its 66 books. The canon of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is complete. It's done. There will be no added revelation to God's Word. In fact, there's a warning in Revelation that warns us that we should not take away and or add to the very Word of God. But at times, as you and I dive into the Word, it does seem like this is tricky. This is different. I mean, is this right? Did those who translated this, they have the wording correct? It just doesn't seem to match. In fact, Carrie and I were talking this afternoon about the father-in-law of Moses and how that in chapter 2 at the ending there, his name is different from the beginning of chapter number 3. Same man, different names. And then another chapter later, he's given another name. When you look at it, I say, man, they really messed up in his name. But it's not a contradiction in the Word of God. And at times we see these things like, man, do we comprehend? Do we understand? And, okay, so his name's this, and it's a tribal name. Then his name here is his correct name. Then we have a priestly name. And the Word of God is correct. But we come across this passage of Scripture. And, I mean, really, think about it for a moment. Happy are those that grieve. Does that make sense to you? I mean, think about it. Happy are those that mourn. Blessed. Think about this. Blessed are they that mourn. How is that even possible? But it's not a contradiction. It's just that there is a deeper meaning that you and I must dive in and learn from the Word of God. As we study the Beatitudes, and as we grow in our Christian faith, we learn that even in mourning, even in a down time, a very hard time in a Christian's life, there is blessedness. As we listen to the kingdom teaching of Jesus, He never denied sorrow. Comprehend this. You and I understand, once again, as Bible believers, that as we dive into the Word, God has never promised you and I that there was not going to be sorrow in our lives. In fact, we understand that there are false teachers of the Bible that will begin to teach that if you get saved and give your life to God, you're never going to have problems ever again. Your health is going to be fine. Your finances are going to be fine. Your family's going to be fine. There will never be any sorrow. Comprehend this. That is not biblical. That would be somebody that is a hireling or somebody that is a false prophet, friend. It's somebody that does not know their Bible, because God never promised that. He always, though, watch very carefully, can transform this sorrow into victory. You see, the Bible puts it this way in Psalm chapter 90. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80. Watch now. Yet their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 4. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. There are going to be, if you live in this world, in this culture, in this society, I don't care what your family tree is, you and I are going to have some hard times in this life. Why? Because it's life. You and I live in a body that is cursed. You and I live on ground that is cursed. You and I live in a world that is not perfect. You and I know that this world is not our home. We're here for a little while. And while we're here, there are going to be some times that's just not easy street. It's not just, well, let's coast through. There are going to be some moments of difficulty. There's going to be some hard times. You say, Pastor, I don't like this. This isn't super encouraging. Now listen, watch for a moment. As we consider the blessedness of mourning, let's consider several things. Now, for time's sake, we're just going to keep it on the blessedness of mourning tonight. But if you're taking notes, I would like for you to think about this or write this down. Number one, the significance of mourning. The significance of mourning. Comprehend that there is in the Word of God, I'm going to put it this way, a natural mourning that will come in the life of a Christian. Ecclesiastes 3 says it this way, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, and so on and so forth. We've read a very familiar passage of Scripture from Solomon himself, that there are going to be times in life. There are those natural times that you take, and you're going to plant, or you're going to pluck up, or you're going to rejoice, or you're going to mourn, or you're going to be born, and there is a time also to die. There's a time, and there's seasons in our life, just as there are seasons in nature. Now watch very carefully. Natural mourning in the life of a Christian is not a sin. It is a healing process. It's natural. It's biblical. It is, let me put it this way, tune in, watch, it is okay. Death in the life of a family is things that sometimes very hard to comprehend. And in the death of that individual, there is this mourning, the loss that comes over that individual that is now 6 feet in the grave. There is a period of time where emotions are difficult, and it's hard to think about anything else, and it's tough to communicate. There is, watch very carefully, there is a natural mourning that comes in the life of a Christian. Mourning, and I comprehend this, and we don't have time to set a precedent on mourning. Oftentimes we just think about is mourning in death, but there's a lot of other mourning that comes up, the subject. In fact, Pastor Dan hasn't started yet, but he he's going to be teaching on this in his Sunday school class. Or maybe you have started, I'm not sure. But he's going to be talking on a much deeper level. We've had these conversations before that it's not just mourning loss. But you and I, oftentimes in our minds, we automatically run to death in the family. That's when we would think of mourning in its most natural state. Now watch very carefully. In a death of a family member, a friend, or a mom or dad, grandparent, and or even a child, there needs to be that season that a person goes through where they mourn the loss of that life. We comprehend that if a person is saved, it's not goodbye, it's see you later, we're going to see them very soon. But there's still struggles and heartaches as that chair is empty, as that picture is still on the wall, the remembrance of coming to church. And we've seen death in our church family this past year, and there's no doubt there is a season that we are going to mourn the loss of these men and these women that we love dearly, and we love seeing them, we love hugging them, we love shaking their hand. And there needs to be in the life of a Christian that time that is given to that loss. Now listen, oftentimes what will take place in a person that does not take the time to mourn is sticks with them longer. And they struggle in a season of life. I've seen it even personally in my ministry where there have been those, and especially in the loss of a child that is not natural. It's unusual. It's very difficult to bury a child or a grandchild. And in that type of circumstance, there needs to be a comprehension, an understanding of friends and family that is around that individual that is laying to rest someone who has passed away. There needs to be the understanding that they have got to need, or really, there ought to be a recommendation of time where that person has a season to stop, to think about, and comprehend, and then give to the Lord what has taken place. If you're with me tonight, say amen. It's very natural. It's very tough. There needs to be a time where people get there. Well, I don't know. Why weren't they in church? They're grieving. Well, I don't know. How come they're not handling it very well? They're humans. Death is hard. It's not an easy thing. For mothers out there who have lost a baby or a child, everyone needs to comprehend that is very, very difficult. The husbands and the dads that were lost in this very auditorium, that's not easy to go through. The Yeagers bearing a son, it's not natural. There ought to be you and I comprehending and surrounding these individuals with love, not just at a funeral, but in weeks and months to come, that the love and the prayers and the fasting for those individuals continue to come. Why? Because there's a season for everything. And when there is a season of loss of life, that mourning really needs to come out. Because when it does not, oftentimes it can affect an individual for years and if not decades to come. It's a natural mourning. But also in the Word of God, there is an unnatural mourning. If you are mourning, watch very carefully, unnaturally, then you're trying to atone yourself. It is blaming yourself for not doing something with someone who is now dead. We come across this story in the Word of God where there really was this individual that was not a good individual. In fact, he was quite wicked. His name was Absalom. Absalom did not live a life that you and I would salute. It was actually very hypocritical. It was very mean. It was, you read the life of Absalom, good grief. There's no way in his life when he passed away that his family should be in an unnatural mourning. But that's what took place. In fact, his father was in such mourning that here is what is written about this circumstance. Listen very carefully. David, being so involved with self-pity, listen what it's written. It says, if thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends, listen what they say. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and we had all died this day, then it would have pleased thee well. You see, David became so involved in self-pity and unnatural mourning that there came a period of time where no one even wanted to be with him. You see, unnatural comes when you and I believe that God made a mistake, and or we blame ourselves for something that really is not our fault. Friend, comprehend this. Now listen, this is not an easy message. I already took my coat off because I just know Satan fights stuff like this. Now listen. The reason that Satan fights stuff like this is because he's always looking for a foot in the door. Always. He is always looking for some way to get somebody kicked off or upset or to twist what pastor or a Sunday school teacher has said and say, want to walk out the doors in a huff and a puff. And here's what pastor said. And he was preaching to me. Let me just put it this way. I'm not preaching to anyone tonight. In fact, it's part three of a series. Like, we're going verse by verse, friend. I can't skip this and say, well, it's not a really good time to preach this, God. No, God just put in order, so I'm just going to preach it tonight. So buck your seatbelt and hold on just for a moment. Now listen, when we're talking about an unnatural mourning, there can come this time in the place of an individual where it's not a season, but it is a grasping and a holding on to. It is really this finger pointed to God and saying, you didn't know what was happening. You should have left them. You should have let them be here, or you shouldn't have, or you shouldn't have. Listen, circumstances oftentimes cannot change, friend. Therefore, you and I have to trust the God of the universe that He understands and comprehends timing. He comprehends and understands circumstances. He knows what is going on. Be careful. You and I got to be careful that in an unnatural morning, there is not a hanging on to. Well, I wish that I could have, but we didn't. Well, if I could only go back, but you can't. Well, if I could, well, that's great to think about. And there is a natural mourning that should take place. But friend, let me put it this way. You and I have to move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been in ministry, Pastor Foe, like Pastor Foe many years at all, you are going to disciple and or counsel someone. Ms. Kim Shaddy, I'm sure. Kim, oftentimes you've had people that have sat before you that they sit here and there's this unnatural mourning. Maybe it's death, okay? But then also there's other circumstances. There is a mourning of sin. There is a mourning of hurt. There is a mourning of bitterness. There is a mourning of abuse. And this mourning, what I'm talking about is, they're sitting and reveling in the fact that life wasn't fair, that I don't agree with this, and they stir that pot over and over and over till finally, listen, that's where they live. Now, I'll put it this way. I'm just going to put it plain tonight. You will never be used the way that God wants to use you, looking in the rearview mirror your entire life. It's unnatural. Miss them without a doubt. I have grandparents that are in heaven, and some I never met. And I can't wait to meet my mom's father, Tom Cooper. I can't wait. I've never met him. I can't wait to meet him. But wouldn't it be weird if I would have spoken with the pulpit committee and they would have been questioning this Thomas Shepherd? I said, yeah, we're doing good. Yeah, God's good. But I'm going to tell you this one thing I've just never gotten over. How come I never got to meet my grandfather who died at, I think, 56 years of age of a heart attack? I don't understand. You know what the deacons would have been like? Dude, what is wrong with this guy? Like, this is strange. Now, that's a personal. But you know, we do the same thing to God. We sit and revel in fact, we've been hurt, we've been this, life circumstances, I can't believe. Have we been hurt without a doubt? Could abuse have taken place in this very room? Yes. Have people gone up to heaven, it seems like before really they even got to the spark of their life? Yes, without a doubt. But we cannot live our entire life in an unnatural state of mourning, questioning God, questioning His will, questioning why it happened to us. Friend, at some point in our life, we have got to have somebody look at us and say, put your hand to the plow and move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit living your life looking in the rearview mirror. You and I have got to move on. Why? Because if we sit back looking at yesteryear and what used to took place, the way I used to be, and what who used to me in my life in the times before I was hurt, or somebody hurt my family, or said this about my grandchild, or said this about my wife, or mistreated me in a bad way. Let me tell you something, friend. You can live your entire life like that, and you can go day after day after day missing people who need you to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're reveling in the fact of, oh, woe is me, and boy, I wish this would have never happened. Boy, life is just not fair. Friend, let me put it this way. Life isn't fair. Move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Move on. There is, yes, absolutely a time where you and I are down and we're hurting and we're praying for you, Deb, and we know that, Nate, and we're praying for you, Mindy, and Stock family, and our hearts are just, they're crying out, and we miss Jeremy without a doubt, and oh man, I'm telling you, Becky, man, we're praying for you and we love you. Look, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those who are living over here. And back in 1987, someone said this about. They probably don't even remember they said it. Well, somebody, they did. Oh, it's just not fair. Friend, I'm here to tell you a lesson that we can teach our kids right now is this. Life is not fair. We're bringing a generation up as if everybody's equal and everybody's supposed to be on this level. You check it out. They're not. Is it not? Tommy loves to play soccer. It's great. It's pretty athletic. I mean, just Coach Drew, you're here tonight. You understand? Tommy's not the best one out there. Tommy, sorry to pick on you, but you're my son, okay? You can't fire me. Tommy's not the best one out there. It's always going to be, check it out. There's always going to be somebody faster, bigger, stronger. Well, that's just not fair. That's life. Do people talk about us? Yes. Have we been hurt with that? Shepherd family, nobody's probably ever said anything about y'all. Yeah. So people say stuff all the time. People can be rude. People can be mean. But, look, I just be honest with you. God is too big to sit down and just be in the mud with all the junk of life. God is too good, and His gospel is too powerful to sit looking in the rearview mirror, mourning over something that, look, we really honestly should not even be mourning over. Does that make sense tonight? There is a natural mourning that takes place, but also there is an unnatural mourning. And friend, let me just put it this way. God is not pleased by an unnatural mourning. Is there a season to be upset? Sure. Is there a season to mourn? Yes. Is there a season to be sad? Without a doubt. There's a season for all these things. But no matter how hard we try, let's put it this way. Now look, you're not going to stop the cold weather in Indianapolis, Indiana from coming. It's coming. And I've been here almost a year now, so I'm pretty much in now. I'm in your club. It's coming. Snow's coming. You're not going to stop it. Check it out. You know what it is? It's called a season. Seasons come and seasons go. But our God is still the same. Think about this. It is the significance of mourning, but watch. There also is the symptom of mourning. You see, when do godly people, when should they mourn? When should mourning come in the life of a Christian? Well, watch very carefully. We should mourn when there is sin in our life. When you and I sin, there should be a period of mourning. This mourning, listen now, watch, is over the sin in our life. This is deeper, watch, and a lot more spiritual than just regret. You see, you and I will never mourn our sin until verse number 3 takes place. Remember what verse number 3 said. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember, it's realizing who He is and who we are. It's realizing what He has done and why He has done it so you and I can live the life that you and I live. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver from the body this death? Psalm chapter 51, the sacrifices of God are of a broken and contrite heart. O God, wilt thou not despise? Listen, has sin got us down? Is sin got us in this mode of, oh, woe is me, and oh, I just can't believe I did that, and I can't believe I sinned again, I can't believe I've overcome it in pride or overcome in this habit. habitual sin or this habit that's in my life. Watch out. It's not sitting in just this mode of regret. There ought to be a morning, and this morning should come when you and I face whatever it is in our life, and then you and I confess to the Lord Jesus Christ what we have done, and there is a repentance, there's a turning away from. Watch this very carefully. When we are chastened, we should mourn. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous," listen very carefully, "but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Nobody likes to be chastened. Nobody likes to be punished. Nobody likes to go through the tough things of life. But like a child receiving a punishment, sure there's crying that's involved. Sure there's a tough time and there's a consequence that comes. But afterwards, it's this joy. It's a deep breath. It is over. When should a Christian mourn? Well, there's this morning when God is giving us the consequences of the choices that we've made in our life. But watch this very carefully. When you and I are burdened, we should mourn. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 9, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Now listen, we might have tuned out. Listen what Jeremiah is saying here. Listen. He says, "My head were waters, and mine eyes were a fountain of tears." Why? "That I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of well-faring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulteries, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow of lies, but they are not valiant for truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, for they know not me," watch very carefully, "saith the Lord." If there was ever a time to mourn, it is right now. Christian, if there was ever a time to be burdened to mourn, that time is right now. We look at our nation. We look at the wickedness in America. We look at the wickedness that has taken over God's house. We look at the no longer the preaching of God's Word. We look at the area around us and the concentration on preferences or standards, and yet the people who are dying and going to a devil's hell, literally to burn for all of eternity, and yet all the weapons are pointed at each other. If there was ever a time to mourn, that time is right now. That time that you and I look out and begin to mourn at the surrounding Hendricks and Marion County and begin to comprehend that there are literally hundreds of thousands who are not saved, and maybe tens of thousands who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That time to mourn is right now. The time to mourn over the loss is today. People mourn, listen very carefully, people mourn more for those who we're going to see again than those that are going to be lost for all of eternity. Comprehend this. There is more of a mourning over those we know that are saved and they have a life in Christ. We mourn more over those than we do those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Convicting? Yes. Does that hit this pastor? Bullseye right in the heart. When will we weep? I'm not talking about, listen, I'm talking about weeping for America, not because we're losing our patriotism. We're weeping for America because we're losing souls. You and I ought to weep for America. Why? Because everywhere around us, there are people who have never heard. And yet we are so much in a hurry, we won't take the time to give a tract. Invite someone to church. Tell them about Jesus and the love and the joy and the peace that He gives us. If there was ever a time in the history of the United States of America to mourn, that time is right now. But we will mourn more over the rights that are being taken away from us than we will a lost soul at a grocery store in the surrounding area. We will think about and mourn more over someone who has said something mean to us or treated us the wrong way, and we'll sit there and we'll pout, we'll be mad, we'll look and, oh, nobody understands. Boy, I'm just telling you what, my grandkids, this just isn't fair. Life is that. Let me tell you something. We will spend more time in self-pity and, oh, woe is me. We will mourn more for why life isn't fair for us than we will that the gospel of Jesus Christ has never pierced the ears of those in this area. And I'm telling you, friend, shame on us. No, I'm going to put me in this. Terry, we're both, Shepherd family included, Cross Point Baptist Church, shame on us. This has not happened, Pastor Dan, so I just... It's getting a little tricky. We might have to turn off the live stream for a little bit here for just a moment. But I'm just going to, the Holy Spirit just moves. Let's just move right along with it. Do you know we could, Pastor Dan, Pastor Blake, I think you're doing the meeting. We could go tonight. And do you know that we could be more upset that we didn't get the spot that we thought our trunk or treat should have been in? Or that we had to pay $15 for a bag of Snickers. Thanks a lot, Biden. We'll be more upset over that. Nah, who cares? I'm just going to say it. Let's just do it. Let's just go. We can, Pastor Blake, we can be more upset and mourn more over I didn't get my way. Meanwhile, we've never shed one tear for the neighbor that lives across from us. For the coworker that's on the other side of the cubicle. For the person that works out at the YMCA and you see them each and every week. And never give it another thought. Christian, I am afraid we have become so self-absorbed that our mourning is such in an unnatural state that all we can think about is ourselves. And for every teenager that sits in this room tonight, let me help you out as a pastor that loves you. Life is far too short to sit in a realm of life isn't fair, I didn't get my way, it's not fair. They said this, they did this. Listen, teenager, I'm helping you tonight. Don't sit in that mud forever. Mourn if you have to, but move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're with me tonight, say amen. Because there are those in this room tonight that will tell you that life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then it's gone. And you only get one shot. And I only get one chance. Mourning needs to come. And I think we ought to start weeping for our nation. We've got to stop trying to win policy and once again start winning people. Get back to just keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is the significance, the symptom, but watch this. There also is the season of comfort to the mourning. Look at this verse very carefully and watch what it says. Blessed are they that mourn. Why? For they shall be comforted. You see, the word comfort in our English language is to encourage. It's to strengthen. So how is this a blessing in mourning? Well, our mourning puts us in touch with the resources of an eternal God. Psalm 138 of verse number 3 says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me and with strength in my soul. You see, in the Beatitudes, there is this cause and there is this effect. When we mourn, there is comfort. And how does God comfort you and I? Well, He comforts you and I, watch very carefully, through forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 of verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow! To have this forgiveness of sins. What a privilege for you and I to be able to walk around with a clean slate. It's this comfort that comes by you and I having the right relationship with God and then having the right relationship with each other. Being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It's this discomfort that comes by just saying this, God, I've sinned. Friend, do you comprehend that the blood of Jesus Christ covers the multitude of sins? Well, how many is that? I mean, how much is that? It's all of it. Like, Pastor, are you serious? Absolutely. Every bit of it. Every wicked thought. Every choice, every root of fill in the blank, His blood covers it. Do you comprehend that? Think about it. It's covered. When you and I sin, it ought to be a moment of mourning and getting it right. And God comes in and forgives us. Wow, what comfort you and I have. Knowing that our relationship with God is on a talking level. It's conversational. It's not religion, it's a relationship. It's through forgiveness, but He also comforts us through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter. I love that word, comforter, that He may abide in you forever. That means this, no matter what comes our way, you and I always have the Lord there with us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. He's helping us. And the mourning process seems to be the number one reason why we long for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be there with us. In that time of mourning, whether it be over death, or whether it be sin, or whether it be hurt in our life, during that mourning process, isn't it wonderful and a comfort to know that maybe mom and dad might not be there, grandparents may not be there, the pastor or deacon may not be there, but Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Like He's always there. When we become so self-absorbed in this mourning process, remember, let's take death and the natural process and let's leave it here for a second and let's dig in right here. When we're in this unnatural state of mourning, do you know what we've done? We've taken our eyes off of the Comforter and we put our eyes on ourself. It's unnatural. We're now saying, God, you can't get me through this circumstance. Well, that's not actually true because, you know, I've been really hurt and I've done this and boy, people have backstabbed me and hold on. Whoa, no doubt. Don't take out of context that's a big deal. Abuse is a big deal. Hurt's a big deal. Somebody being angry hurt us? Yes. Let me just put it this way. We've all felt that effect and it does affect our lives. But how many in here, by a raise of hand, have been shipwrecked 3 times? How many's been beaten with rods? How many's been whipped and cast in prison? Like none of us. And yet Paul said, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not looking backward, friend. Every letter he wrote didn't start out with, let me just fill you in here, Church of Philippi, Church of Thessalonica, let me just tell you something. I have not been treated very fairly, and life is not fair. And let me just tell you, if you come in contact with so-and-so, tell them I pretty much hate them because of what they did, and the magistrates that were unfair. No, that's not how he started his letter. Every time, as I've been thinking about you, and I love you, and keep your eyes on the prize, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Jesus Christ, you just keep moving on. Watch very carefully. In a moment, in a season of mourning, do you know what you and I get? We get forgiveness, yes, but oftentimes what you and I have in our life is we have a comforter, and that comforter is there, and he's leading us, and he's guiding us, and he's directing us. You know what happens in a time of mourning? You know what comfort we get? Listen very carefully, because I'm going to move quickly. It's 7:01. I was going to cut this off, but I couldn't, so let's wind this thing up, get it down. Now listen, you know what we also get? We also get family members. We get people that are there. I got some news, and this had nothing to do with Cross Point Baptist Church. This guy's got a little bit of news, and we're kind of working through some stuff, and just kind of a down moment. And you know, without telling a soul, Carrie and I praying about this, that it took place another state, and it's a teenager that's going through some stuff, and we're praying for that teenager. And you know, in that moment of just mourning of kind of the circumstance, this is no joke. Denny, Bruce, Ronnie, and Eric. Within, I'm not exaggerating, 2 minutes, all sent a text, "Pastor, praying for you, love you." Well, that's just a great coincidence. No, that's God, friend. And when you and I go through a hard time, you know what we have? Each other. We have each other. Eric, I kind of like when this is shut down over here. This is just personal. I love when this is kind of shut down because I feel like I can move around freely and I don't have to worry about all the backsliders. It's really nice. But understand this. I'm just joking, see? Mourn for a little while and get over it. Now look. Eric is my brother in Christ. Let's stand up, Eric, for just a moment. Eric and I, we do love each other and we pray for each other. Watch this. But you have to comprehend that we don't agree on everything. We just don't. Whether it be a team or whether it be style, whether it be this or it doesn't matter. We're just not going to agree on everything. But I will tell you this. As brothers in Christ, when Eric goes through a hard time, not because I'm just his pastor, but because I'm a brother in Christ, I need to be there for this man. And the same is true when the shepherds go through a tough time. You know what's wonderful to know is that I've got a brother in Christ that's there and he's praying and he loves me and he's gonna comfort me. I go through a tough time. It's not time for Brother Eric to step in. Well, told your pastor, good grief, grow up a little bit, get some thick skin. And well, I guess maybe you deserved it. Maybe you just deserved it. No. Sometimes there are circumstances where we need a hug and we need somebody there. And think about it. We need somebody that's going to comfort and guide. Let me put it this way. We've gone through a very tough season in 2021. A very unnatural season. Earl has been here for I don't know how many years, Deb. I mean, years. 67, boom, gone, just like that. So this is unnatural. Jeremy, who we all prayed and without a doubt fasted, and men all over this place all the time pray. I fully expected for Jeremy to walk in those back doors healed. I was planning the service out. We're going to rejoice and raise hands, and this is going to be incredible. Guess what? God took him to heaven. It's unnatural. Think about Becky and the Yiders and Brother Yider and all those Matt and Brother Mark, and they lost a brother. I don't know how, I can't remember how old, but around my age. It's different. It's difficult. Do you know what's going to help these families get through a tough time? Us. Us. A self-centered person sits over here and says, well, I don't know. I didn't get any flowers from so-and-so, and I know so-and-so got flowers. And No. A person who's going through a tough time doesn't care. Why? Because their comforter is Jesus Christ. And God has given the local church family for you and I to be there for each other. That's why I just constantly, and now that we're kind of getting through this, I'm not going to stop. And people online can get upset because the use that, listen, don't you get upset. Watch, I'm just going to put it out there. We never created our online streaming service so that we can stay home and skip out on church. That's not there. If that was the reason, I'll just be honest with you as a pastor, I'd have cut that cord a long time ago. Why? Because we need to be assembling together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Why? So we can be there. So we can lift our voices. So all of us at one time or another, hey, Brother Having, can sing a song and jump off the stage in excitement of what God is doing. Listen, that's what we did when we come together. Now, time out. For those of you who are watching live stream and you can't be here, I'm not calling you out, I'm not thinking about you. Don't write me an email or text tomorrow. I'm so upset. I get that there are those who legit have reasons who they can't drive, and even those who said this is playing me my last night because of darkness and cataracts and so forth. That's nothing to do. I just be honest with you. If we're just staying home, eating Lucky Charms, and we just like to be on our couch, look, friend, stop. Because I can assure you on live stream, hopefully, Brother Darren, you got it like right here, or Brother Hayes, like, I don't want over here. I want this camera. Hopefully, live stream, you comprehend that one day you might go through a very difficult circumstance. And you're going to need the people in here. We all need the people in here. I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to be done. I'm sorry. Pastor Blake, you're going to have to cut out a lot of points because you're the youth pastor. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. We're a family. Amen. Cross Point Baptist, we're a family. We're not a clique. We're not a club. We're part of the family of God. We might not always get along and agree with each other, but we can love each other. I'm not sure what took place in the past, and maybe in 2018 somebody said something or did something. To be honest with you, if you're thinking back 3 years already, that mourning process is done, and now you are in an ungodly state of mourning. It's time to move on. Natural state, sure, go through without a doubt. These families I mentioned tonight, they're struggling. They're hurting. Christmas, this is, Carrie just said it. Carrie, did you not? This is the worst time of year to lose somebody. It's tough. Pastor Bo, is it not? It's Thanksgiving. It's Christmas. It just, it's going to be a tough one. You know, the Queries and the Yiders, the Stocks need to know. They got a God that's never going to leave them, but they got a family in here that loves them. And we're going to see those men. We're going to see those men again. I can't wait. It's just going to be incredible just to run down that street of gold and to give them all a hug again. And the guy, I can't wait to meet your son one day. I just can't wait. It's going to be, what rejoicing it's going to be. But check it out. Now listen, we're not there yet. We're not part of that great cloud of witnesses. They are, and they're cheering us on. They understand now. And maybe up there, maybe Jeremy is yelling down, get over it. Keep going, Pastor. Don't let that bother you. Just keep on running your race. You keep going. You keep at it. Look, they comprehend now. We cannot stay in an unnatural state. Cross Point Baptist, it's time we move on. Let's move on. We got to let some stuff go. Take off some backpacks. We can't sit in this mode forever. There are too many people who need us in this room. Not getting fat on the gospel, but soaking it in to go out and share with everybody else.